It's not a part of my message, but God put something in my heart while we were taking the prayer requests and thing. And I just want you guys to know that this is our church. If God brought you here, he brought you here for a purpose, not just to hear the word of God, but to do things for the church. I look around and I understand what Dad says every time when people aren't here, it upsets him and it upsets me and it should upset you. And it's our job as the church to bring people in. It's our job as the church to reach whoever we can reach. It's our job. This church is never going to grow if we expect other people to do it. If we expect the pastor to do everything, or me, or Brother Brian, Brother Keith, or if we expect, you know, people to do it, it's never going to be done. We need the whole church working to bring the people in. I love this property. I love this building. I love being here. And I want to see these seats filled. And we can't do it on our, you know, on our own. We need each and every one of us to help bring people in. It's a shame that people get offended so easily and leave the church so easily. It really is a shame. But when God shakes that tree and the bad fruit falls out, we got to go out and get new fruit. We got to produce it. God's going to draw some people in here, but he expects us to work. We're supposed to work. And I know I'm speaking to the choir, but like I said, it was something God put on my heart as we were praying. So with that said, let's get right into the message. I wanted to get done on time tonight. So I got a quick little message. I had no idea I was preaching tonight. I just found that out this afternoon. So I'm hoping that God uses me and provides a good message for you guys. I hope you get something out of it. Let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 18, please. And I don't know why I'm in 1 John. This is a very familiar story. In this story here, in John, this is where the Jewish people brought Jesus to Pilate, and they wanted Jesus crucified. Pilate looks over Jesus. He finds no fault in him, but as everybody knows, when you're walking in truth and when you're doing what the Father wants you to do, it hurts other people, and people hate you for And these, you know, the Jewish people hated Jesus for walking the way that he walked, for walking towards God, for just being absolutely perfect. People hated him for that. And it's the same in our world now. But my story today is on a certain man named Barabbas. I don't know if you guys have heard of him or not before. He's only mentioned in a few verses. And I want to take a look at right now, John 18, verse 33. That's where we're going to start. It says, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and thy chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for the cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for everything you do for us, Lord. We thank you for saving our souls, Lord. We thank you just for dying on the cross and shedding your blood for us, because we can't do it without you, Lord. We are all sinners, and we cannot work our way to heaven. There's nothing we could do. It's only through you, Lord. And I thank you so much for loving us so much that you did that for us, Lord. I thank you. I ask you, Lord, please just bind the devil, keep him away, Lord. I pray that you fill me and allow me to speak your word the way that you want me to speak it, Lord. I don't want it to be any part of myself. I want to give you all the glory in everything I do, Lord. I just pray that you open everybody's hearts, Lord. You open their minds. You allow them to receive this message. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So it says in John, that we just read in verse 40, it says that Barabbas is a robber. He's a thief. So, you know, he stole things. He took things that didn't belong to him. It also says in Luke 23:18, we don't have to turn there, but it also calls him a murderer. So Barabbas is a murdering thief, okay? in Matthew 27:16, it says that Barabbas is a notable prisoner. So he is well known. People throughout the land know the things that Barabbas has done. It's kind of like, you know, the first thing you think of when you think of a serial killer or something. I know in my generation it's Charles Manson, first thing you think of. It would be the same as that. That's what he was. He was notable. People knew who he was. They knew what he did. They knew that he was a rotten human being. But yet, they still wanted him released over Jesus. So who is Barabbas? We just went over it. He's a murderer. He's a thief. And he was in prison. He was sentenced to death. He was sentenced to be crucified. He was sentenced to pay for the sins that he did. And Jesus took his place. Jesus completely took his place. The Jews wanted nothing to do with the truth. They wanted nothing to do with Jesus whatsoever. They wanted Barabbas, this murdering thief, released. That blows my mind. It truly does. Every time I think about it, every time I see like the world nowadays, it just makes me think of how far away from God that this world is. Not just our nation, this world. This entire world wants nothing to do with God at all. It wants nothing to do with Jesus Christ. You mention the name Jesus and people get offended. It is crazy that this world, and Christians don't even see it. And that's what bothers me the most. Christians don't even see it. If you read the Bible and you compare it to nowadays, all the people out there are the Jews. The word, they hear the name Jesus and they get offended and they get filled with rage and hatred. And, you know, we have extremist groups like ISIS who execute people just for saying they're a Christian. This stuff is real. This stuff is powerful. Just the name of Jesus Christ hurts people. Just saying Jesus hurts people right at their heart. So Jesus took Barabbas' place. Pilate knew that Jesus was flawless. Let's turn real quick, please, to Mark chapter 15. I thought I was going to have a little bit more time, so I'm kind of rushing through this. I apologize. But it's good when the Spirit's here and he's working, so I'm not going to complain. Mark 15, start in verse 7. It says, And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude crying aloud began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people, that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, "What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the king of the Jews?" And then cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said unto them, "Why, what evil has he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." Pilate knew. Pilate looked him over. Pilate saw that he was flawless. He saw that he was perfect. He said, it's funny because Pilate, kind of, it made me feel like, and me and Brother Keith were talking about this down in junior church, but the way it sounded there, Pilate kind of felt like he was, I guess, tempting them with Barabbas, thinking that if he sent them the most wicked man that he had in prison, that they would let Jesus go, because Pilate found no flaw in Jesus at all. So the most evil guy that they had in prison was Barabbas, and he was sitting there and he was like, "Okay, I'll release Barabbas," thinking, you know, they didn't want Barabbas to go, and they still wanted to crucify Jesus Christ. It's crazy. It still blows my mind every time I read this story or the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Whenever I read even the Old Testament with the Jews complaining all the time when they're in the wilderness, every time I read of people just having hatred towards Jesus, I don't get it. I can't comprehend it. I mean, you have a God who became man, who became flesh, who healed people, who performed miracles in front of everybody so they knew that he was who he said he was. Then he went on a cross. He was beaten, put on a cross, bled, and died for us, for the same people that cursed him, for the same people that mocked him, for the same people that whipped him and beat him and crucified him. It just blows my mind every time I read it. I can't get enough of it every single time. It's amazing. The reason why I really wanted to talk about Barabbas, though, is because if you read the different scripture and you read the different, there's four places, I believe, that mentions Barabbas. And like I said, it's only a verse or two. But if you read it and you read the story, we are all Barabbas. Every single one of us. We are all Barabbas. We all have sinned. We all have lied. We all have cheated. We all have killed in our hearts, maybe not physically. But we've broken every commandment. We've broken every law of God. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you think you're a good person. It doesn't matter if you think you're an evil person. We're all the same. As Amina said, we are all the same. There's no one better than anybody. We are all Barabbas. We all deserve prison. We all deserve death. Every single one of us deserves death. And I don't care if that offends you, because it should. You know, it's funny because, you know, witnessing to people, and I hear people who know that they're a sinner, but they don't think they deserve to go to hell. You can't be saved unless you know you deserve it. You deserve to be in hell. There is nothing good in us. We deserve it. I'll be the first to admit, I am the most wicked person I know, because I truly know myself. I won't judge anybody because I know how wicked I am. I might tell people that they're doing wrong, but there's a difference. That's not judgment. People take that, you know, out of context. I am wicked. I do not deserve heaven. I do not deserve to be behind a pulpit. I do not deserve to be in this church. I do not deserve to be alive. And I have eternal life. I have eternal blessings. I have eternal riches. And I don't deserve it. That's grace. That's the definition of grace. We are all Barabbas. All of us. And we deserve to be crucified. We do. And Jesus took our place. As long as you're born again, well, even it said he died for the world. So Jesus took all of our place. You just have to accept it. It's I like to think of Barabbas. I read the story, and I like to think, and this isn't scripture, this is my opinion, okay? I like to think he's the first person to ever get saved. I would like to think that Barabbas getting released, knowing how evil he is, knowing how corrupted he is, knowing that he deserved to be crucified, I just picture him running out of that prison and then just turning and looking at Jesus. I like to picture him turning and looking at Jesus and saying, wow, this guy's paying my debt. I am free. I truly, truly believe with all my heart, because I know if that was me, I know I would drop to my knees right there. I truly believe with all my heart Barabbas was the first man ever saved. I truly believe that Barabbas is the only man to understand the crucifixion, to truly understand it. I wish that we would all truly understand what Jesus did for us, because I think we take it for granted every single day. Every single day, we take it for granted. It truly hurts me that I see how empty this church is. And it's not just on a Wednesday night. Sunday mornings are getting lower and lower. And it hurts me. It truly, truly hurts me that we have a gospel, that we have a God, that we have the love and the grace of our Creator that loves us so much that he just wants to give and give and give and give and give, and people reject him. And then his own people, own Christians, who turn and reject them because they're not giving the gospel out to everybody else. It truly hurts me. It truly, truly just bothers me. I don't get it. I don't understand it. That's my message. That was pretty much it. I just wanted to tell the story of Barabbas and how it was. It's a picture of us. It's a picture of salvation. I would like to have a little invitation. Do you guys have time, Tatiana? Can you come up? Do you have a couple minutes? Just want to take 2 minutes to have a little invitation. As this cute little girl comes up to the piano. It's funny how there's little stories in the Bible that jump out at you. And like I said, 1, 2, 3 verses here and there about Barabbas. And you, out of those 3 verses, you could just plot a whole story in your head about the story of Barabbas. And it's funny how that one story, that one picture, how it just totally relates to you and how it relates to your salvation. It's so funny how you can see that, and you could just see how we deserve, every single one of us. I know I deserve to be on the cross. Jesus didn't. I deserve it. I deserve to burn for eternity. And I know I've said this a million times. I don't just say that. You can ask anybody who knows me. I'm always humble. Every time, that's probably the only good thing quality I have is being humble. Because I think I'm too hard on myself sometimes. But other than that, I don't have many other talents. I know that I'm worthless. I know everything I have in my life is because of God. I know that there's nothing I can do without him. I know who I was before I started living for him. I know who I was, or what I was doing. I know the things that I was before him, and it was horrendous, and I couldn't do anything. I couldn't accomplish anything. I've been coming to church now faithfully for almost 3 years, and that's huge for me. That's huge for me. My whole life, I never finished anything. Every time I had a job, I would quit my job before 2 years and go find somewhere else. Every time I had a girlfriend, I would break up with her after 2 years and go with someone else. I never had anything that I sustained for a long period of time. For me to almost be 3 years here is huge. And it's not because of me, because I know I wanted to run a couple times and God slapped me in the face. So I thank him every day for that. But as Tatiana starts playing, if you guys, everyone please stand to your feet. every head bowed, every eyes closed, this altar's open. If you want to get anything off your chest, God, if you want to just tell him anything, if you want to just thank him for paying your debt, if you want to just thank him for saving your soul, come out to this altar and thank him. And I just, if anyone here, I know there's people who proclaim to be saved for hundreds, for decades, and they never were, and then they didn't realize it till later in life. So don't ever be ashamed if you don't know 100% fact. If you have any doubts, please settle it tonight, because the end times are coming. Jesus is coming back, and you do not want to be left behind. It's a free gift. If anybody wants that free gift, if you want to accept it, please just accept it tonight. Don't go home without knowing. Just want to give a couple minutes for everyone to talk to God. Get whatever off your chest that you need to. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Lord, we just thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. We can't thank you enough for paying our debt, Lord. We can't thank you enough for looking down on us when we know that we've done something that we weren't supposed to do, or when we know that we sinned against you and you look down on us and you still love us. And you still care about us, and you just paid the ultimate price for us, Lord. And we thank you so, so much for that, Lord. I thank you. I just thank you enough. I can't thank you enough, Lord, because I know how wicked I am. And I just thank you for loving me no matter what. I thank you for always being there. I thank you for always forgiving me no matter what I've done. As long as I turn to you and I always ask for forgiveness, you're always there to forgive me. And then you forget it as far as the east is from the west, Lord. And that just amazes me. I thank you so much, Lord. I thank you for the message. I thank you for everything you've done, Lord. And I just pray now that if there's anyone here who doesn't know that they're saved, Lord, who doesn't know that they're going to heaven when they die, I just pray that you put it on their hearts. I pray that you convict them, Lord, and I just pray that you just visit them and knock on their door, Lord, and let them accept you so they know that they can go to heaven and have you for eternity. I pray, Lord, now that you just be with us tonight as we drive home, Lord, and please allow us to do whatever it takes to get closer to you, Lord, and do whatever it takes to put allow us to reach other people for your name's sake and for the church, Lord. I thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys are dismissed. Yes.